Things are changing left, right, and centre
at the moment. Spot on, Smack. Let's talk more about that with Taylor Adams because he's going through similar things at the moment. The star from the Magpies, he joins us. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning. Did I just hear you call Sherelle Smack? I'd love to know where that comes from.
Oh, well, Sherelle McMahon, S-Mac, Mahon, Smack.
Okay, that's just a Daniel Harford classic.
Yeah, it's just a play on the name.
It's just the name. S. McMahon.
Which is all good.
What do you mean? Board. It's just like regulation sort of name abbreviation sort of stuff, Taylor.
Yeah, no, it is. I thought it'd be a good story.
I'm going to start calling you Tad.
Oh.
T. Adams. T. Ad.
Oh, dear.
Oh, goodness.
It's not quite as good as Smack. Goodness. Smack's
it's a great
good.
Start.
it's been one of those mornings, Taylor.
You don't know Mr. Agar, do you? It's a story for another day. It's all right. Hey, Tay, we're talking about the netball situation there with Smack, my girl, and the Vixens and the travelling circus that is Super Netball at the moment. But you were playing Port Adelaide at one stage, and then you're playing Hawthorn at one stage, and then you're playing Port Adelaide as well, and the venues have been changing. How are you going in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, no, fine. It's been, I feel like that's almost normal. We've come to expect some uncertainty over the last 18 months. So to be completely honest, I just wait for the confirmation message to come through our Collingwood team app and go from there. It is what it is. We were sort of preparing to go into a harder lockdown this evening at a hotel and then obviously fly over to Adelaide, which the guys have done earlier in the year and perform really well. So, yeah, it is what it is. We've got our main day today, so we'll, you know, obviously we're playing this Friday night at Marvel as it stands, subject to change apparently, but yeah, we're going and train this morning and see how we go.
So what's the conversation like from your COVID compliance officer and the coaching staff and probably the club all over to a degree about what you should be doing, how you should be living at the moment? You talked about maybe if you're going to Adelaide being forced into a bit of a hotel quarantine situation just to hub it up until the game day. Are you staying at home and doing nothing at the moment apart from training and playing? Is that where your life is at the minute?
Yeah, so we're under a stricter protocol at the moment. We're just, you know, as an AFL group community, we're trying to limit our movements so that we don't have players missing games like we saw on the weekend. Clearly, those guys had no idea that they were doing anything that could jeopardise their availability for their teams. So, yeah, at the moment, with so much uncertainty in a couple of states and now SA, where we've been asked to limit our movements and become full-time footballers, home sitters, and that's about it.
So, Taylor, I'm just interested. We were talking before about the mental health of the players going through all these changes, and I'm not so much talking about the general mental health of the players, but more the mental health of the players to be able to prepare to be a professional athlete and to be able to perform. Do you think it is having an impact across the league, not just in your team, just with all this change, because so many are creatures of habit, that you can actually perform at your best, or is that just an out?
Oh, no doubt guys will struggle with it and players will struggle with it. And it's not just players either. It's support staff and football admin and coaches. It doesn't just stop at the football industry, clearly. You know, these times have been difficult for a lot of people. Lockdowns are really challenging. You know, people sort of joke about not having, you know, the ability to be face-to-face with other people or connect with other people face-to-face. So we're actually really lucky that we get to go into work and, you know, still hang around with our mates. We've got this common goal, a challenge in front of us week to week. And I see that as a real privilege that we're allowed to do that. So no doubt there's individuals that will be finding this tough. You know, with these restrictions, it doesn't just affect the players, but it affects their families and the like. So, yeah, it's just another challenge that, you know, the football community is facing, but, you know, the greater community in general is facing, and we're no exception to that. So it's sort of head down, backsides up, and get the job done for the unforeseeable future.
Yeah, and again, it's important to sort of differentiate between a lot of people out there that haven't got a job at all as a result of the lockdown and all those sorts of things. So there's very different levels or scales of mental health issues, etc. But I just wonder whether we saw Tom Rockliffe come out yesterday and say, look, this is just getting ridiculous. Like, let's just take a pause on the season for a couple of weeks and let things settle down. Has that been spoken about at all amongst the Collingwood players, that might be something that the AFL needs to look at, or is it very much, head down, let's get it done?
I haven't heard that amongst our change rooms. We had yesterday off, so... I think it's probably remiss to think that the AFL haven't thought about that. You know, they're doing the best that they can, working with the football clubs to work out the best plan forward. Clearly, there's financial reasons why games have to go ahead, but no doubt they're considering the players' welfare and the coaches' welfare and the support staff and their welfare and the effect that it's having on them and their families. So, we're certainly guided by what the football club are giving us and what the AFL are presenting to us week to week. But as I said, I think we're lucky that we're able to go to training. We're able to play games and go out on a weekend and work. So that's my perspective. Clearly there's, I'm not sure of Tom's situation or other players' situations where they might have families and kids and that sort of thing. So it is going to be so individual for all players. The important thing is that there's support around the players and their families and the individual clubs look after their players and their staff.
Well, Tay, talking about the individual clubs, there's obviously, in the broader context, so much going on, so much uncertainty around the way you guys are living your life at the moment. But that also extends for you guys in one way or another to your club, with the what's happening at board level, with the interim coach at the moment. Is that something that plays on your mind as well as athletes?
Oh, the stuff at the exec level doesn't really have an effect on me personally. And I haven't heard too much chatter about that. It's sort of obviously bubbling away in the background, and it'd be great to see that sorted out sooner rather than later. But, we've got obviously bigger issues to deal with at the moment. Starting with winning games at football, and then navigating what's been thrown at us logistically. So, in terms of that, obviously the coach situation, we've known that that'll be sorted out post the season. So that at least we've got some clarity there, and we're confident that Righty will do what he needs to do to find the right person to lead us, whether that's Harbs or someone external. Again, that's something that we can't really control. It is exciting in a sense that, there is, potential for Harbs or someone else to come in and put their stamp on our football club, which is great. We're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we've got to win games of football. We've set out to win a lot of games in this back half of the year. And, so far we've been hit and miss. So we'd like to right that ship first.
Yeah, well, talk to us about that, because it was such a different story on the weekend. The previous week, you came out all guns blazing in the last quarter and finished off the game incredibly well. And it was the reverse of that against Carlton on the weekend, where in that last quarter they really did run you down and came over the top of you. What was the feeling in that last quarter? What was the difference, do you think, from last week to this week?
Yeah, clearly complete opposites. We were really confident both games were really confident going into that fourth quarter that we could get the job done. In the Richmond game, we felt like we were in the game the whole night. Knew that they clearly it was a big game for them. We were able to stick to what we knew worked, and our contest and pressure was, matched theirs. They were excellent at it in the first half, and we're sort of able to break them in that sense towards the end of the game, and we're able to, pile on the score in the last quarter, and that's exactly what Carlton did to us on the weekend. Probably beat us around the ball all day, which is really disappointing from a midfield point of view. But then in the last quarter, their pressure and their contest went to another level, and and surpassed ours. It was disappointing. You know, the guys really flatly, you know, clearly a younger group, but, you know, some of our senior players didn't stand up when the pressure was on, which was equally as disappointing. So we're looking forward to a short turnaround this week and bouncing back. It's funny that football is just such a brutal game. If you're off by 5 or 10%, you know, a team can pile on a number of goals really quickly, and that's exactly what happened to us on Sunday afternoon.
I imagine from someone like you, Tay, who is so competitive and gets so energised, engaged in the contest, to have that happen, to be able to be against Richmond, to come out and blow them away late, to letting somebody blow you away late, I imagine that would weigh on your mind. That's the way that you sort of talk about the game. Did you take it almost personally?
Oh, not personally. As a midfield group, we were really disappointed. We didn't really have much time to stew on it. We actually butted up on Monday to come in and do our review, so that we could have yesterday off, so we could prepare for this week. And you know, that was confronting. You know, we saw some vision that wasn't good. We saw some numbers that, you know, reflected our performance and painted a really obvious picture as to why we weren't competitive in that second half of footy. That's the job of the coaches, is to present, you know, the facts to us, and then for us to go out and train it week to week. We, to a man, and then collectively as a group, as a midfield group, and then even in a bigger scale as a team. We were really disappointed. Half it was, it was something that, you know, it probably sort of sums up our season to date. You know, we've been really inconsistent, but that was, you know, the fluctuation between the first and second half.
Yeah.
And last week to this week was as stark as you're going to get.
It was quite remarkable viewing, I must admit, watching both those games and seeing two very different editions of the Pies. We had a call this morning, Tay, talking about the future of the Magpies and the players that have been given opportunities through the last little while to earn their stripes, so to speak, for Collingwood. And Whitey and I were touching on the fact that we like what we're seeing with this next generation of players who are coming in and having an impact. And I was just keen to get your take on what you've seen from these kids that have come in and had a crack from the start, when they first sort of arrived, to where they are now and the development that they're going through, and your take on that.
Yeah, it's certainly been a positive aspect of our year. You know, it's been really difficult for them, clearly, coming into the AFL system under the circumstances we're in, where VFL games are compromised, you know, training's compromised, and they've had to adapt really quickly. And, you know, we've, as a leadership group, and I know the coaching group have been really impressed with the way that those our draftees and even our second year players have handled the last 18 months. We're really optimistic about what they can produce going forward. Clearly, we've probably asked a lot more of them than what we initially thought we would have to, but in the long term, that's a great thing. So, yeah, they've clearly got some way to go, but for a number of those guys, and, you know, we've only seen a handful of those players play AFL footy. There's still a few guys in the VFL that are performing really well week in, week out, and you know, we might see a couple of those this Friday night. So it is really exciting for us, and we know that for us to improve as a football team, they'll be a really strong contributor to that improvement.
I want to ask you, Taylor, about someone from another team that you played against on Sunday, which is the Sam Walsh impact on the game. For someone that's only in his third year, what he's doing at the moment. I mean, you had 9 disposals in the last quarter. You know, you clearly held up your end of the bargain. But to see someone so young have such an impact on a game, do you notice it out on the field, or is it something you only know about later?
No, you definitely notice him. I'm glad you asked, Whitey, because I've actually sat down a lot with our younger guys. You know, some of our younger midfielders like Jay Rantel, and we've watched a lot of Sammy's stuff this year. Clearly an exceptional work rate. His ability to cover the ground and find the footy is going to be unmatched, I reckon, and unrivaled in the competition and is at the moment. So he just plays footy the right way. He's improved his power around the ball. He's really hard to tackle now. His contest work is really, really strong. He's going to be a star of the competition, and definitely a future leader at that football club. You notice him out on the ground. He's got leadership written all over him. Kicked that really fantastic goal. He really is becoming an elite midfielder. He's having an elite midfield season. I'd be surprised if he's not in the All-Australian team right now. So you notice that he was a focal point for us. We actually put some time into scouting how he'd play as a midfield group, and knew that to combat what he can do, it takes absolute dedication and work rate, because that's how he plays. So couldn't praise him any higher. I know he's a good Geelong boy. Looking forward to how his season unfolds.
So, Taylor, a question for you, and probably for Sherelle and Half, really, because you'll often talk about work rate, and work rate means a number of different things, obviously, but often it goes down to being really fit, because you can just get to contest after contest after contest, and your GPS numbers will be really high. How much of it is it fitness, and how much of it is actually just a desire to compete, a desire to be a good teammate, a desire just to get to the next contest? Because that's one of your key performance indicators, if you like, Taylor. I'm just interested in whether you can even put a percentage on that sort of thing.
Oh, I think the larger percentage is definitely your ability to do it, your capability. And that's earned during the week and during your pre-seasons. And it takes time to build that engine and that tank. And then there's that last 5 to 10% that makes the really good players great players. And Sam's got that. You can see that his ability to gut run. I've seen it in a guy like Pendles for a number of years, a guy like Steel Sidebottom for a number of years, where you can tell that they're gassed. But they put in an extra 100 metres because they know that they have to. And that's something that I think young players struggle with. And we're actually talking about this the other day with a few of the senior guys, that if you could be told one thing, if I could be told one thing at the start of my career, it would be, or taught one thing at the start of my career, it would be how hard you can actually push yourself as a player on the field, but also in training. And the quicker you learn that, the better off you're going to be, because in games, at times you are going to have to completely empty out past the point where you think you can. And I do think that plays a part, Whitey, but I really do believe that 90% of it is what you do during the week and leading into games.
You're a competitive animal, Sherelle.
What do you mean, was?
Well, that's why I was hesitating whether to say was or is.
Yes, no, and I agree with Taylor and what he's saying, that there has to be that underlying ability to do it. You can have all the want in the world, but if you physically can't do it, it doesn't matter. But I think the ability to push past where you think you've absolutely pushed to your max is what you do in training. Those are the bits, but that's a mental thing a bit, because I think there are moments where you feel like you've given absolutely everything, but actually there is still a little bit there. And as Taylor said, that's the situation where you get those really great players, the ones who can just dig that little bit deeper. But I do also think it's a situational thing too. I think we hear teams, when they're going well, their work rate's up. And I think when things are going well, it's easier for you as an individual to have your work rate up, because you can see things are working, other people are doing it, it's all connecting and it's all working really well. But for me, that's where that mental stretch comes in. When things aren't going well, can you still put that effort in, even though maybe the outcomes are a little bit different, or the team's not doing so well, or there's other frustrations that are coming into it? So there's absolutely a mental side of it too. And I think sometimes it depends what's happening around you and what situation you're in. And again, it's those athletes who can, even when things aren't going well, or even when you're not playing a great game, to be able to still dig and work. They're the players that can dig themselves out of a bad game.
They've got a fair role model at the moment, the Magpies, the man leading the team, and Robin Harvey, who was one of the all-time greats at being able to push through pain and just keep tracking on like no one else I've ever seen in my life. Had 41 on me one day, Tate. Don't bring it up with him, but he had 41 on me one day at Waverley, and I tagged him. How was I going?
Oh, God.
That wasn't a good afternoon for little big-shorted fella. That wasn't a good day at Waverley. I want to ask you about another one. Another player who's having good times at the moment in different outcomes for the Magpies. But Jordan Ngoe is getting a lot of the footy at the moment. He's playing a lot more midfield with you guys. Certainly stoppage stuff and centre-bounce stuff. He's having an impact. He's averaged 30, I think, in the last 4 weeks or thereabouts. But he's not hitting the scoreboard as much. Where would you play? Where would you put his magnet, Taylor?
No, he's definitely a midfielder. You know, he's had the opportunity to kick a few goals over the last month. I think he's had five shots in one game or four shots in one game. So I think he's a midfielder that can rest forward. He's a guy that's put a lot of time and effort into his game. You know, going from that genuine forward to a midfielder, we've been really pleased with how he's going. And just his overall attitude to that new role that he's been given, and he's as you speak about it, the work rate that it requires to be an A-grade midfielder. So, Geordie's been great.
Well, no, I think he has been great, absolutely. But that does seem to give it more clarification about what his role is going to be, because he has been that guy that, do we play him forward and let him kick three and four and try and win games, or do we get him around the ball because he's such a bull and give us some support in that area of the ground? Seemingly, what you're saying there is we'll see him. He'll be a midfielder from now on, which enables you to try a few things forward of the footy and try and find some players that can be those long-term options for you.
Yeah, I think Geordie just wanted clarity half in and consistency in his role. And so, yeah, him and Harves had a conversation and they basically just said, we'll try as a midfielder for the remainder of the year. And that doesn't mean that he won't go forward at all. But he will be predominantly a midfielder for the remainder of the year, and then whoever comes in and takes the reins has the opportunity to do what they want with Geordie. It'd be nice to have two of him, but unfortunately we can't clone him.
You'd want to do that occasionally, don't you? To play is actually two of you, Taylor, would go all right as well, I would have thought. There was a bit of fire in the game on the weekend. You got yourself into a little bit of trouble with the MRO.
Not again.
You're a bit lighter in the hip pocket there, Tay.
Yeah, I copped a fine. I can't remember how much it was now.
$1,000.
Discussions about $1,000, was it?
Yeah.
Just pocket change.
I can't even know.
It was starting higher than that half, but I think they may have looked after me. Yeah, there was obviously the rivalry still strong, Sherelle. So we're
So how'd you go? Because Zach got the $1,000 fine as well. So we just calling it a draw? Are we?
Zach, you're bullying Zach Fisher.
Oh, poor Zach. He's come on. Jeez.
Yeah, that's actually pretty stiff. I should probably pay that for Zach.
We spoke about that Monday. That was funny.
You're like you're fighting one of the Ozkick kids.
Oh, now that's not nice.
That's
well, he looks
really
a youngster.
Rude.
There's not much of him.
He's got a bit of go, Zach Fisher.
He can play. Don't worry about that. He's one of the best players. He's a beauty.
Well, he fired you up, obviously. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. He's not exactly Hercules, but he's a very good player. Hey, Tate, we're going to let you roll. You've got stuff to do. You've got a big game coming up Friday night. Well, this stage, it's Friday night. Marvel Stadium against Port Adelaide. We'll see what happens, mate. Looking forward to seeing you in action again. Good luck on turning around this week. Always great to chat.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Yeah.